Welcome to our Kingdom Culture podcast. For today's message, we are thankful for what God is doing through this podcast to encourage and transform lives around the world. If you have a story to share about how God has encouraged or transformed your life through this podcast, we would love to hear about it by emailing us at mystory@kingdomculture.ca. If you would like to support this ministry financially to help us bring messages like this to you every week, you can do so online at kingdomculture.ca at the Give option. We also would love to connect with you on our social media, on Instagram and Twitter at KC Ottawa, and Facebook at Facebook/Kingdom Culture Ottawa. We pray that you would experience God today and be encouraged through today's message. Enjoy!
If you were online with us last week during our Canada Day, you would know that we I talked about in the announcements that we had a panel for this morning. I know that some of you like this kind of Sunday, some of you don't like it as much, but I want to encourage you to open your hearts to what God will do this morning. This was not something that we are doing just because we didn't have a clue what we're going to do this Sunday. This is something that we are intentional about. We have been praying for this Sunday, and we felt a direction from God to really go deeper into talking about some things in our hearts, and we'll discuss, and I'll bring two incredible men of God here to stage really soon. But we are really intentional about this morning, and I want to encourage you to really to shut off any distractions. Yes, you can grab your phones if you're taking notes on your phones, but don't be on social media during today's experience. Don't fall asleep, and pay close attention, because I believe there's gold this morning for you. And I believe my prayer, and I was praying for this morning, and my prayer wasn't God bless somebody that will get into that room this morning. It was kind of like a different prayer. It said, God, cause a crisis in their hearts, a crisis and a hunger for more of you, that they may leave this place feeling challenged, feeling really like heavenly disturbed to cause transformation. Because I know that for the past year, we've been hearing this word about it's time to wake up, it's time to position ourselves, it's time to really see a shift. And I think we can only not depend upon Pastor Sean, Pastor Michelle. We as a body of Christ got to activate some of the things that God is depositing in our hearts in this season. And that's my prayer for you this morning, that you leave this place so much more hungry than when you came in the first place, with a hunger, with a thirst for God, for His kingdom, to see the kingdom of God invading everywhere you go. Your job, the coffee shop you go to, the grocery store you go, people that are around your life that should be sitting in this few empty seats that we have here, that should be here this morning and not are here this morning, that really your heart is turned into prayer and to really battle in this season to see, hey, God, I want to see the kingdom of God invade my city, my nation in this time. And I want to assume and grab God's and heaven's perspective for this season. Amen? Amen. So I want to invite to stage two amazing men of God. First, I'll start with the oldest, Matt. Matt, you can come. Matt leads our logistics team. He's an amazing man of God. He was other than Pastor Sean and Pastor Michelle, of course, but Matt and his wife, Andrienne, were the first ones to receive in their house for a meal, and they're amazing. I remember this was like the year was 2017, crazy.
Flies by, man.
Flies by, and they were living back in New Orleans at that time, and they were very hospitable. They received me and my wife in their home, and honestly, man, this man carries so much. So many years, I know that you have words spoken over your life, like you are a Joseph, but that is because you have invested in God's dreams for this generation. You have been such a strong foundation for this church, such a faithful person, and I'm just so honored to share the stage this morning with you, a man of God, a man that I've been seeing your growth throughout the years, but more than that, the generosity that you carry and the faithfulness to and love to the house of God that you carry. So thank you for all these years. And I told him multiple times, and I'll share with you guys, like, if it weren't for Matt and Andrew Ann, I don't think we would have lasted these 7 years here in Canada. So it's because we have people like you that are faithful beside us that really strengthen our journey. So I'm so thankful to share the stage with you.
Appreciate it, man. It's a privilege to be here with you.
Yeah, amazing. Welcome. Yeah, you guys can clap.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. I'll be here all day.
And the youngest to the stage, I want to invite Jean. Our father of only 6 children, maybe more in the future, I don't know. Thank you for being here. Jean is a solid rock for this house. Man, this guy, I don't know how he manages so much. His management skills, man, you carry so much and you embrace so much and you have such a pure heart. When I think of Jean, is that quiet but also so pure, so integral hearts. His wife was leading us in worship, Harley, and Jean is a dad, like I was saying, of 6. I'm not allowed to disclosure what he does because I don't know, but he, but he's a very influential.
I'm on pat leave right now.
Yeah,
that's what I do.
Exactly.
He's like Chandler from Friends.
Yeah.
Nobody really knows what he does.
Exactly. Exactly.
I don't even think he knows what he does. Yeah.
I'm not a transponster.
Exactly. And on top of being so busy, Jean is also the head of our finance team and is so faithful and carries. And I think that one of the things that I see in you is the value, not only when I look at your heart, but when I look at your kids and them serving God, being so faithful to the house of God. I just admire the men of God. I said that multiple birthdays to you. Like, I look up to you. You and Harley are an example in this house, and I'm so thankful as well for the honor to share the stage with you guys. I know that you guys have also called for nations, and you guys are have so much influence, and I feel like this you don't even know how much influence you have, and your God is just about to explode the influence level you guys carry in this season. So thank you so much for being
here. Amen to that. Thank you.
Amen. So welcome this two amazing men of God. As I was praying for this morning, and it's really hard after the last few Sundays that we had of such, how many of you here were the last two Sundays before, like Father's Day and the Sunday after before Canada Day were here? Yeah. Man, the presence and power of God in this room was so tangible. I loved how the week before Canada Day, we just stayed from pre-experience prayer all the way into the experience with no gaps. Our team rocked, and we just had a powerful, powerful worship moment. And I believe that my heart's for us in the summer, where people just tend to escape and go everywhere, is that this summer we'll see such a shift in our culture, that we'll see such an impact, that we'll see God do such a move in our community. And I just want to encourage you to raise your level of expectation in your hearts for this season. Yeah. God is about to do, and we have been hearing incredible words and encouragements. I know, as I was saying before in my giving, many of you were there when Sammy brought the encouragement during our culture night, right? Can I see a few hands? Amazing words. If you were not there, not last week, I just want to remind of some things that Sammy was sharing with us. He said that God is expanding this church. This is a year of breakthrough. 2024 and 2025 would mark a year of no limits for Kingdom Culture. Kingdom Culture will be a multinational church. A new sound is being released by this place, and we really can tell that. And I believe that we need to continue to foster this culture of worship, and a new sound is coming out of KC. This will shift. There will be a shift in our worship, and we'll have the most dynamic worship in all Canada. There's an anointing for creativity and innovation, and Sammy had this vision about a vault in heaven. And really, that vision really spoke to me, because I had a very similar vision years ago. We won't go into the many details. This is not the purpose today. But I really believe there are ideas and things that God has in store for us in this season, that if you seek God and you seek His face, you will see manifested. The church will forerun ideas, and KC will be a place that will lend to the nations. There will be so much generosity out of this house. And the last point that he said, God is raising up the men in this season, and there will be a revival in the spirit, body, and soul. Amen? Now, you both were there last few Sundays and also receiving these words. And I think that whenever we receive any prophetic word, there's a challenge is, how do we position ourselves? How did these works, and either of you can start, how these words of Sammy and the word Men of Legacy from Pastor Sean from the Father's Day, how did this impact your life? And how was there any change, anything that you did after receiving these words?
Anything I did after receiving? I'd probably have to say it was a little bit of like a heart posture. Evaluated my heart. Like, where's my heart in this season? And oftentimes when you're strengthened, it's because God's about to shift you into a season of momentum, of growth, of you need to be strengthened before you go on the field. You don't just go on the field, you know, and never worked out in your life. Right?
Because you'll
freaking crumble. I mean, you run marathons, triathlons. You didn't do it just wake up one day and like, hey, I'm going to tear a ligament today. You know, it was like you put in time and effort. And so I started evaluating my heart. Where's my heart? Where have I been lacking? You know, when we were talking about this, you referenced 1 Peter and about, you know, don't do things grumbling. And I was like, oh, God, like there have been so many moments over the last couple of years where I've done things grumbling and complaining. And like, you know, it was like a conviction of like, are you hosting? Are you serving well? Sure, I'm here physically, but like, how was my heart posture in all of this? And I think in these moments, we have to check our hearts and say, am I humble? Am I in a place of humility? Am I doing this because I want to be seen? I want to be whatever? Or am I doing this because I just want to seek the presence of God? Mm-hmm. I started evaluating my heart over the last, you know, couple of weeks, and where's my heart at?
Well, amazing for you.
I'd say the first thing I did was listen to it again, just because it was so much in there that I wanted to unpack some of it. To me, the thing that stuck out the most was how he talked about to position yourself for promotion, you have to serve. And so, like, to me, that's what stuck out. And he gave a great example how he had to give up. God called him to give up his Division I full scholarship into basketball to go serve and serve his father, basically. And he was pretty upset about it and, like, spoke to God and, like, why am I doing this? Like, I could be doing something greater. And God really came down on him in a fatherly way and said, like, you get to do this. No one else is getting to do what you're doing. You get to follow your dad as a minister, catching, serving him, and you get to learn. And so to me, serving is really that. We can approach it as like, it's a task, I need to do it. But you can also look at it as, I get to do this, and what can I gain from it? Mm. There's so many great leaders and great musicians that have come out from the church. And why is that? Because the church is a place to get equipped. It's a place where you serve, and in serving, you don't realize what you're gaining, what you're learning. And so, and God promotes, right? It in the scriptures, the disciples were all arguing, like, hey, who's the greatest? And John's and James' mother went to Jesus and asked, like, hey, can my boys sit beside you when you go to heaven? And everyone, all the other 10 got really upset about it. And Jesus, you know, like, he didn't say, like, woman, you're crazy, your theology's off. What he said was, you know, I think we all know, like, the first will be last and the last will be first. But what I was reading the scripture in the Passion Translation, and the author took a very different angle to it. And he said that in Mark, Mark chapter 10, he says that serving, I think, do we have it?
Yeah, we have.
Yeah?
Yeah, Mark 10:43.
Perfect. You are to lead by a different model. if you want to be the greatest, then live as one called to serve others. The path to promotion comes from the heart of a bond slave who serves everyone. So that, like, to me, that jumped out. I had never read that passage written that way. It was always like, you know, first will be last. You're like, okay, I need to be humble. And no, this is more than just being called to be humble. This is a call to serve as a bondslave. A bondslave basically is there to serve his master. Mm. I'm not here to serve my own interests. I'm here to serve God. Whoa. And in doing so, and you can apply that at your work, in your marketplace. We all have bosses, or at least most of us have bosses. If you're your own boss, then you still have someone that you're serving, right? You're serving the people that are coming to you. Whatever you're doing, there is a position where you are serving, and God wants you to view it as an opportunity for you to learn, an opportunity for you to get promoted, because he's looking at your heart. Are you just doing it for what you can get out of it, what you can get out of your position? Like maybe, hey, if I do this long enough, I'm going to be the boss, or if I do a good job, I'm going to get paid. And God doesn't want us to look at serving in that way. He wants us to look at it as you are giving yourself to this person or to this job or whatever it is, and what you're going to gain from it is promotion from God. God is looking for the humble. But the same scripture, sorry, I'm talking a little long here, but the same scripture in Matthew's, same passage, just different author, it raises something different. So Matthew 20, the same thing, but verse 27, because the greatest honor and authority is reserved to the one with a servant heart. So there's two things that happen when you serve. One, you're positioning yourself for promotion, but two, you gain authority. And it's not authority in the physical realm, it's authority in the spiritual realm. And once you have that, now you can claim the promotion. And so to me, that's what really stuck out. And it just went so well with Sammy's word. I was like, oh my gosh, it's exactly what Sammy said, that promotion, that's serving is the stepping stone for promotion.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, in Psalms 84, is basically a psalm where King David is talking about, you know, the birds get to be in the house of God all the time, and he's like, he's expressing this passion of like, God, I just want to be in your presence. I want to be in your house. I long for this. I desire this. And at the end, he says, I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of God than to live in the finest establishments of the wicked. And he's the king. He's the king of Israel. And he wanted to forsake it all just to be the breadcrumb of the kingdom. He was the guy. He was the CEO. He was the big daddy. He was the boss babe. He was it. But he was willing to forsake it all just to have a little glimpse of it. And why? Because he was willing to serve. Like, he was anointed to be king, but the anointing to be king wasn't enough to satisfy his heart, to satisfy his soul, to satisfy the longing. It was in the house of God to serve. So serving is what satisfies the soul. That's why Jesus came. He came to serve humanity. He didn't come to take from humanity. He came to give. And that's what satisfied the Father's heart, was Jesus' heart to serve.
Wow. So much wisdom here, guys. I hope you're taking notes. So good. I love what you guys said. Both you highlighted how to position yourselves for breakthrough. Number one, it's like a heart check. And the same, but saying and really finding your heart as a heart, I want to serve. If you look at Joseph's journey in the Bible, you find that in order to reach his promise word, like his prophetic word that he had, or the prophetic destiny of his life, he had to serve many people. And in the story of Joseph, you find that key. That is, if you want to reach your dreams, serve other people's dreams. Invest in your people's dreams. He revealed the dreams of two fellow prisoners before going and taking possession of his dreams. And I really believe that there's this challenge of how do we position ourselves before receiving, and after receiving so many of these words, you cannot be in a posture. I don't know about you guys, but I have many prophetic words, and I keep I have in my house like a book, like almost like a book, a folder where I put every prophetic word that I get. And every now and then I go and revisit those words because I believe there's power. You're not just simply waiting for them to happen. You're preparing, you're working on your hearts, and the serving that happens in the process is the process of God working in your hearts and accessing areas of your hearts. I want to read this passage before we continue, and I have a few more questions for you guys, of course. 1 Peter 4, verses 8 to 11 says, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling." The word that Matt was referencing before. "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do it as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do it so with strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." And this is a really call in one of the areas that we Kingdom Culture value that you may not be thinking, but we are thinking throughout the week is we are here preparing a place for people. Our vision is to help everyone everywhere experience God. And part of that, if you are trying to create an experience, part of it is what we do. Of course, we don't have our building yet, and we have to work with the venues, and we are thankful for Cineplex, and I'm really thankful. I know we have a lot of little problems and things that could be better. We experienced overflow that was a little bit better, brighter. We experienced some other venues that we may have liked even before, but here we have an opportunity where we don't have to drive a trailer 4 in the morning.
Thank God.
Things are stored under the stage. But everything that we do is with the heart of creating room for people to encourage and to encounter God. And our heart is that everybody here in this place can be a part of this. And even with our lobby set up, the special Sundays that we have, it's for people that you want to cause, not us, but we have the desire just to cause an impression. Imagine somebody that is walking for the very first time into the doors of Cineplex. If the lobby was completely empty, how would they find this room? What would be their first experience? How was your first experience at Kingdom Culture? Or even before Kingdom Culture, what was your first experience at church ever? And we know that first impressions do matter. And we are called. God modeled that. And he has in everything that he built the house. When David was, he was giving the blueprints, David had in his heart, I want to build the best house for God. But for our God is the best. So he deserves the best. So we are called to be a part of this, to serve. I think everybody in this room here is called to serve. And we need to walk into that place of identity. So we're called for, and I think that I never heard really a message on hospitality, and I felt like challenging asking you guys, what does hospitality mean to you, and how do you connect that into the house of God?
Age before beauty.
I thought I was the youngest. That's how we were introduced.
Okay, I'll go.
I mean, I can go.
Okay, go for it. Yeah. Go for it.
I'll be honest, hospitality, when you ask me that question, I'm always reminded when I was much younger, a teenager in a different church, we did like a spiritual gifts test. And it was like basically like, I don't know, 50 questions. And they all had different themes. And you answer yes, no, whatever, or like whatever the marking scheme, and then at the end you tally it all up, and hospitality was my second lowest score, only beat out by compassion. I had a big 1 out of 10, I think, or something. I can have compassion, but I'm usually the one laughing. Harley's already shared that part of her experience when she got hit by a tennis ball. I was just laughing at her instead of going to see how she was doing. So compassion is not my strongest suit. But hospitality was also not my strongest suit. And it's something that I've learned over the years. Thankfully, my wife is very hospitable. She is very strong in that aspect. And I've been blessed to be married with someone who has strengths where I have weaknesses. And so I've learned a lot through watching her prepare when we host people at home, or just serving at church and seeing what hospitality is. That's taught me a lot.
Well,
yeah.
And I can assure that you developed that, especially the compassion side. Like, Jean was one of the guys that asked me the most after we, I won't get into the details because not the purpose of this Sunday, but after we lost Jonathan, Jean was one of the people around this church that asked me the most how I was doing and wanted to make sure that we were okay and to give if we needed any support. Like, you were always there. So I see that throughout your years of serving God, how that probably came out of a 1 into a 10, because I really see that as a strong quality. If you were to ask me, Jean is always interested in others first before yourself. So that's amazing. For you, Matt, hospitality.
Hospitality. You know, I think, like Jean said, like Harley prepares, she prepares a place for the guests to come. And I think that's something that, you know, we have to do as well. We have to prepare our hearts to do the work. We have to prepare our hearts to, we have to prepare our home. We have to prepare the food. We have to, there are practical things that we have to do that might not always be convenient. You know, oftentimes it's, I'm speaking for myself. I don't know, maybe you guys are all, you know, perfect. And when people are coming over, no one's in a panic and, oh, just throw it under the bed or just throw it under this or just, like, just close the door. You know, I know I've had those moments in my life where to prepare, it's a little chaotic, it's a little inconvenient, but I think that's part of hosting the word is it gets a little messy sometimes, it gets a little chaotic. And I think of Proverbs 14, verse 4, when it talks about how the farmer, he has a barn, but if he has no ox, it's super clean, no dust, it's easy, he gets to go home, put his feet up at the end of the day. But he doesn't have a harvest in the future. Mm. But it says that if you have an ox in the barn, you have to clean up, you have to shovel some fertilizer. There are things that are messy, that don't smell good, that are inconvenient, but it allows for a future harvest. It allows for an opportunity to see God move in your life in an area that you might be believing for. Well, and in Psalms 126, it talks about those who sow in tears will reap in joy. Mm-hmm. You know, and the culture night where Sammy's prophesying over the house, prophesying over Pastor Sean, this is why I love our pastors. They're so real and raw.
True.
And he's just like, he's sitting there like sobbing on screen, on camera, just sobbing, being encouraged, being strengthened. The amount of times we have a house have sowed into the calling and the vision of Sammy prophesying over the house of music, the creativity, you know, the generosity. Mm-hmm. We as a house have sown into these words practically. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And our pastor's sowing in tears. But it's a strength. It's a strength for the next season. It's a strength for the next season. And so when you're hosting is the practical application of serving is the practical application of hosting, is what I would say.
Yeah,
I don't know if
good.
That answers the question.
Yeah.
I feel like I kind of just like
yeah.
Yeah, I think more of that as well. Being hospitality is more than just, you know, serving people that you know. It's hospitality is preparing for guests that are not your friends necessarily.
Yeah, it's really good.
Right? It's easy to be hospitable to your best friends. Sometimes you're actually less hospitable because you're like, oh, I don't need to clean as much. Yeah. They're family. It's okay.
It's one time.
Although at our house, anybody that comes in, the house has to be sparkly clean.
or heads are going to roll.
She's like, I'm going to get in trouble after. being a true hospitality is not geared towards your friends. It's geared towards guests. It's geared towards people you might not know, strangers you know, strangers you don't. And I was looking, I actually looked up the definition because, again, hospitality is not my strongest suit. Maybe I should stop saying that. But something that hit me was that it also mentions being generous.
Yes.
And, you know, you're generous with your time, you're generous with your energy, but it just brought up the story of when the Queen of Sheba came to meet the king, King Solomon. She brought a lot of stuff. Like, it says that never has there been as much spice given, but she also brought 9,000 pounds of gold. In our Canadian currency, that's almost $500 million. And she left with more than she came with.
The church would be in an uproar if they were given. Anyways,
can you imagine? King Solomon, the wisest king, was also very hospitable, and he knew what it meant, right? He gave out of a generous heart. He gave what moved him. If she gave gold, he probably gave gold and more, right? And to me, that was like just a reminder that, you know, it's easy to get stuck in the, I need to do this. I just, you know, it's, again, it's just a task. I'm like task-oriented. I like doing tasks. And sometimes we forget the why of why we're doing the task. And when you forget that, then you forget the rest of it. You forget how you're supposed to be generous. You forget how you're supposed to, like, you know, interact with the guests, talk to people. It's very easy for me to just be single-minded. I'm just here to do my job. I will smile at people. I'll say hello. But I will probably stop engaging after hello. And it's something that I'm working on. I'm trying to be more, more hospitable, more interact with people and get to know them, ask questions, and not just be thank you for giving if I'm at the kiosk, but actually talk to you and try to get to know you. And, I'm an extroverted introvert, maybe. And so I like people that carry the conversation. I don't like carrying the conversation. But it's something that I've been learning over, you know, between my wife, observing my wife or observing our pastors at how they host, observing you guys, how you host. You guys are amazing at talking to people and having conversations. And so I want to encourage you all, you're all part of this church, that when you are here, you're not just here to have a good time and talk to your friends, but also reach out to the people that, someone you've never seen before, someone that looks new. Sometimes we're shocked. I introduced myself to my wife. She had been at our church for 6 months. And she was like, you're one of the first young people to talk to me. She had been at a church for 6 months. The only people that were talking to her were the pastors. And so it's so easy to be stuck in your own, like, clique at a church. I want to encourage you all, hospitality begins with all of you. And it can be as simple as actually talking to people that maybe you don't know.
Well. Few golden here, and I think one of the things that I catch from this that really spoke to me, hospitality is just not for the ones that you love. You're called for hospitality for everybody. You're called to serve others. And it doesn't look like Matt was saying, it's not supposed to be pretty perfect. It's messy. It's messy, and God is in that beautiful mess. And I think that when I was thinking and praying about this morning of hospitality, felt like five words around that hospitality came to my heart's honor, serving, building, creating, and also generosity. Coming from a different culture, I also see a different approach in this church. I had to learn how we, and I can see we since last year that I became a Canadian citizen, how we as Canadians, we process some things different than Brazilians in church and church culture in Brazil. getting people to serve or getting people connected to the house. It's very different. And one of the first things that actually my wife and I, we came from Connecticut, and it was so hard building connection with the local church there. We feel like in the one and a half years that we were there being part of the church, I was also part of the setup team, was also a mobile church, so God was preparing us for this season. We got, it was really hard building many connections. And one of the first things that called my attention, and you guys may not realize that, is that I actually felt very welcome when I first came at KC. Like, I felt really welcome when I was there at Aviation for my first Sunday, when I came to your house. And I think that comes out of a place of, this house serves God pretty well. And it's interested in honoring. And I think hospitality has this really connection. And when it goes about not doing just for the ones that you like, but others, this is what true honor comes. Because when you're getting a word for somebody you don't know on the grocery stores or at your workplace, you're calling out the gold inside their heart. You're honoring what God has already placed. And we need this heart. Jesus had this heart for people. He was there to serve people and also to go back. And I think that when we were preparing for this morning, a lot of things that started to come out of hospitality were very connected to serving. And you guys been in church for many years. I know you got, I've been in church for, since I was 13, I'm 38, so that's 25 years. Had the opportunity of serve at different, many different teams throughout the churches that I've been part to. And how is, like, what does serving mean to you? How was your own process, your own journey into beginning serving God in the local church and serving the city and serving? How was, I'm interested in knowing, like, how was serving and how did you develop this serving hearts that I know that both of you carry?
It started outside of the church, actually. It started on my grandpa's farm. It started outside of my, watching my dad, you know, just serve his dad, despite the history, my dad just served. Yes, sir. It was super powerful watching the dynamic, but at the same time, kind of sad, but it was like, yes, sir. Yes, sir. It was the yes, sir. It was this like, this honor, this like almost a little bit of fear. Anyways, it was like watching my dad serve my grandfather despite the circumstances, despite the history. And he was just, it was an opportunity for him to connect with his dad, just to be in his presence, just to be around him. It was just, I just want to be near my dad despite the history. I still love him. And just watching that is where it started. And in the house, it started for me more so out of a place of fear. Like when I first got saved, I experienced Jesus in a tangible way on a drug trip. Totally radically changed my life. There was a season of my life where I wanted to be in the church because I was afraid that if I wasn't in the church, I would lose my salvation and I would die and end up in hell. Not just like when I'm old and gray, but like tomorrow kind of a thing. Because that's like, wow. In that experience that I had, it was, I'm going to die tonight. This is the end of me. And I'm going to experience eternity in hell for the rest of my life. For the rest of eternity. And God woke me up. No. Anyways, long story short, I'm here today serving because I love Jesus. Not out of a place of fear. And I think, like, God redeems it, obviously. But I think there's value in seeking refuge, seeking the protection, the spiritual protection of the house that has over your heart and your soul. And I think, so that's kind of where I learned was like, God used the very thing that brought me into the church to keep me in the church and then worked and developed my heart and molded my heart to realize that it's not out of fear, but it's out of love because of what he's done for me. Like King David, again, like King David, he had it all, but he just desired the presence of God. So he's willing to forsake it all, but he decided to be responsible and continue, you know, moving forward with the vision of God and being king and priest. And I think oftentimes we forget that we're both. Wow. Or king and priest.
That's really good. That's really good.
Yeah, I have a very different background. I grew up in the church. My parents were Catholic and got saved, changed church. And I was probably three, 4 years old. That's all I remember. I remember some of my youngest memories are being in the church, serving or watching my parents serve. And really that's what set me up to become what I am, is observing my parents, whether it was like my dad driving his Kubota 30 kilometers to go to church, to this new building that we had bought, and like using it to move the trash, moving chairs or whatever it was, whatever the need was, we were there at the church, we were serving. And so as I grew up, as the years came and I became older and older, and able to do, you know, take my own decisions. It wasn't just like, move this, do this. Now I had a choice, but because I had been raised in this way, it was just natural. I didn't think about it. It wasn't like, oh, should I serve? How can I get involved? It was like, I would look, I would see a need, and I would go to that need and try to fulfill it as much as I could. And so that's to me how I came into some of the roles that I've occupied over the years in churches, is just a posture of like observing my parents and seeing how they served, and then just doing the same. It wasn't that I seeked out to be the financial director. It's you know, people asked. I was asked by Pastor Sean, and I don't know. I didn't know any better. I said yes. maybe I need to learn to say no sometimes. But at the end of the day, I do love serving. It is something that is a core value inside my heart that I thoroughly enjoy doing, is serving. And again, like I said, task-oriented. I love doing those tasks. And so knocking something off and seeing progress, to me, is something that I enjoy. And so, it's what... it's what we do. It's how both Harley and I were raised. We were raised in the church, observing our parents serving, and now that's what we're doing with our kids. Again, we want our kids to grow up in the church, and so it's very important for us to, one, be a good example and set that example of serving, because we know the Bible's clear that if you set your child in the way that he needs to go, that as he grows up, he won't depart from it, right? And so that's how we raise our kids, and we're starting to see the fruit of it. Like when I look at my oldest after church, he's looking, whether it's because he's bored or whether it's because he wants to leave, he will help, because he knows that I'm usually not going to leave if there's things that are still needed to be done. And so he's starting to help more and more, and he has that in him. And that's not because we did something like we won the lottery or something. It's just because we put in the work. We put in the time and the effort. And they see us at home doing all the things that you guys don't see on the Sunday, but we have to do, or not we have to do, but we get to do. We get to do all these things at home so that church can happen sometimes. And our kids see that. And to us, that's the biggest gold, is that we now have the fruit. We have our kids that are now mimicking and replicating what we're doing. And we know that they are now set in a way. And the Bible's clear. We have a promise that now, because we've raised them in this way, when they grow older, they will not depart from it. Whether they have a little blip or not, we know that that is our promise. And that if we see them wavering from it, then we can hold God accountable to his word and say, God, you said it. Now I'm claiming it, right? And so, again, it's an encouragement for all of you, whether you have children or you've, you know, whatever it is, I want to encourage you to get involved and serve. It doesn't have to be that you're here at 4 a.m. or that you stay till 12, but get involved whichever way you can.
Thank God we're not here at 4 a.m. anymore. Yeah. It's 6:45, so it's good. You got two plus hours to sleep in. I love that. I think that from your journey, you said you grew up in church. You've been saved since you're 7.
I grew up in the church too, but I remember telling my mom when I was like 5 or 6, like, oh, when I get older, I'm not going to go to church. And she's like, oh, well, why? I was like, well, I've served enough time, basically, you know? And lo and behold, here I am.
Quickly, because of time here, what has serving throughout these years done in your life? What are some changes? What has it produced? What kind of impact it had in your life with what you do today, or whatever impact serving has in your life?
I think I've already shared some of it. Like, obviously, to me, one of the biggest fruits is watching my kids grow up and replicate what we've done, what we're doing. There's so much joy and honor knowing that our children are replicating what we're doing. But outside of that, just, I think it's opportunities. You get to meet people. You get to serve people. You get to learn things that you wouldn't necessarily have learned. I think leadership is something that you learn when you're serving, just because either you're telling people, or you're encouraging people to do things, or you're receiving directions from people, or you're just, you know, you see a need and you fulfill it. They're all ways of leadership. I remember reading a book from Maxwell on leadership, and I'm pretty sure, at least I think it's in there, and he was mentioning, like, if you see a paper on the ground, a leader will pick it up, even if it's not your job. And I find myself when I'm at work and I see, like, paper on the ground by the garbage where people in the bathroom, you know, you like pull it out and they're always all jammed together and like little pieces fall on. And instead of like picking it up when you see it fall, they just walk away. And to me, every time I see that paper, I'm like, no, it's not mine, but I'm still going to go pick it up. And it's just those little things that, you know, it's the leadership that serving has just encrusted in my life. Like, it's on me now that there are little nuggets that I wouldn't have thought that I would have been doing, or that, you know, you always think, like, the leader is the one that gives all the orders, but the leader leads often in how they act and how they interact. And I think that's how, even at my work, that's how I usually interact with my folks, with my team. It's not that I'm trying to give them all the directions. I try to lead by example and try to, you know, they have their projects. I'm just there to make sure that I'm removing whatever obstacles they have. But otherwise, I'm there. I'm trying to lead by example. And it's the same thing. I'm there to serve them, knowing that if they're successful, I'll be successful.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's almost like leaders are never above it. They have this mentality of not being above it. But, you know, my wife and I oftentimes talk about our life. I'm a huge dreamer. I'm a daydreamer. I'm like, oh, imagine, like, what would it look like to end world hunger? Oh, like, what would it look like to, like, how could we do this? You know, like, I'm like, it would be amazing to have this house and, you know, and a spa in the backyard. And I'm like, let's achieve these dreams. Let's achieve these goals. Let's do it. And oftentimes when you try to achieve your dreams, your goals, there's a lot of risk involved. And over the last 10, going on 11 years of marriage, I would say we were probably a little bit more risk. We are a lot more of a risk taker than most people. And my wife and I, given our circumstances, like being self-employed for the last 5 years, and before that, just having, you know, a construction job in the industry, not, you know, being the most wealthy people in the world, and being able to see what we've been able to achieve, while being so heavily involved in the house, will oftentimes look back and be like, how is this even possible? How does this even make sense? And we'll look at our tax return some years and just be like, what? We did what? Like, and oftentimes the you know, CRI will be like, can you prove your donations? It's like, it's often, it's like, man, like, how are we able to do this? And then we cannot do anything, we cannot explain it any other way than being rooted in the house of God and serving the way that we serve at the capacity that we serve. And I fully believe it's because we've sowed seeds into the kingdom that have reaped a harvest, that have protected our hearts, that have done all these things, that it's like we say this every Sunday when it comes to finances, it's like, when you give, God responds. When you give your heart, God responds. And so we've just been like, trusted God with our heart, especially over like our fertility journey. You know, we've just trusted God with our hearts. Like, God, like, we don't know what's going on, but we just trust you. And he's guarded our hearts over the years. And it's just been, like, we look at each other and like, how do people, like, outside, like, without God, how do people get through this kind of stuff? Like, literally, we have that conversation often. I'm just like, I don't know how people do it. I don't know how marriages last, how people are happy in life. And here we are. We have a full life, not just in our marriage, but with relationships, with our finances, with our dreams, with our passions. It's like success, or like Pastor Sean likes to say, significance across the board, mm-hmm. not just in one area of our life.
It's really good.
Well, I don't know if that, like,
yeah?
answers the question enough, but
like, it does. Like, and I think you said something. Both, I could tell, even by your first answer that you said, how your heart towards serving changed and how your heart has been transformed. So I really see that transformation. And for you developing leadership, I think both of you, you developed so much leadership out of the years you both have been serving, even the last seven that I have been had the privilege of watching you both. I love that when God gives us a word, what happens to us. Like, I was reminded of a passage this week. I know we're running short for time. We're going to try to have two more important items that I want to talk to them about and then with you guys about it. And then we really want to get practical this morning, because I believe something that God wants to work in our hearts. Exodus 4:6 says, the Lord, this is Moses, he, just before being sent for his destiny, has an encounter with God. And he says, the Lord also said to him, put your hand into your robe. I changed the passage, Andrea, and not bosom from that I read years ago, where he covers your chest. So he put his hand in his robe, and when he took out, his hand was leprous, as white as snow. I love this because God gave me a new revelation. Before even being able to send Moses out for his journey, he wanted Moses to do something, which was putting his hand into his heart. And when he took out his hand, he saw condition of his heart. Lepers had always spoke of insensibility, of not it being dry or being in a position of not hearing God. And God was showing to him, hey, if you don't understand your heart, or you don't have your heart in the right place, your service will be just like your heart. Your hand will become just like your heart's. The things that you do will become an expression of your hearts. And I feel like service and hospitality has speak of this transformation that happens to our hearts. And if you don't recognize the why your why is not transformed for the years that you're serving, if you're not attent, your heart will become hard through the years. And I believe that God this morning, I don't know, I believe there's everybody in this room has a journey with God. As a journey, your journey may have begun a year ago. For some of you, it has been maybe having over 10 years ago. But we always need to keep our heart into check in this process. And to really get practical, which is our last discussion point of today, God has been speaking this statement to my heart. God doesn't use men that are good with excuses.
That's good.
Say it again. Say that again. God doesn't use men that are good with excuses. And I think that when it comes to serving, we can all come up with many excuses to why we can't serve, why we can't devote our time. Right now, like, again, I said this a few Sundays ago when I spoke, that our equation for time is straight related, because most of us are paid by the hour. So you think, oh, I'm giving 2 hours at church. I could be making this instead of giving these 2 hours to God on a Sunday morning. And we can easily come up with excuses. Many conversations that I had throughout the year, I'm not talking about Kingdom Culture alone, but people always have an excuse. You can always have an excuse. And I think that the people that I've seen the most flourish and grow into leadership are those that are not giving excuses, but they are putting your hands to work. And when I look at both of you, you both have insanely busy lives. You're a business owner, but you're here every Sunday morning at 6:30, sometimes night drone 7:15.
7:30 sometimes, yeah.
But he's been the faithful part since I've been here every single Sunday that they are around Matt's here. And he could have the excuse, like, you work with construction. You could have, like, you have many Sundays that I know you came with, like, a sore back to serve. You as well, Jean, with that many kids. I'm having a hard time managing 2 kids not sleeping. You now added twins to the equation. And you have, I know that you guys had good excuses for not serving, and yet you still persist to serve. What happens there, and how, what changed in your hearts for your wife, so that your heart can be in check and in the right place to serve?
I would say at some level, it's like, it's my spot. Oftentimes, God will call you to do something. And if we are disobedient, if we aren't obedient to the calling or to the step that God wants us to take, and if we don't take it in God's timing, he'll find somebody else. This is my spot.
That's good.
This is my spot. Find your own. Honestly, there are levels, there are, for lack of a better term, there are levels, there are layers to servanthood. There are levels, layers to maturity. And the Bible talks about the milk. We are all serving God right now by being here.
Yeah.
We came, we served him with our words and our praise and our hearts. But then there's, the next step is, maybe it's giving. Maybe it's getting baptized. Maybe it's serving on a team. Maybe it's, who knows what your next step in your faith journey looks like. But this is my spot. We all have a part to play. And I think for me, it's just been like, this is my spot. Nobody else is going to take it from me. Come hell or high water, I'm going to be here. Because we all create the bride. We all create the bride. Mm. We all create the bride, man. Like, I remember when I first saw my wife on her wedding day. It was through the glimpse. There was old wooden doors. And as the bridesmaids were coming out, my wife took a peek in between the door jamb and the door, and I just caught a glimpse, and I was just, like, overwhelmed. Wow. And I think that's how God looks at the bride. He gets overwhelmed. He gets overwhelmed, and when he sees people not, he's like, it's my bride. Like, for a man, I think it's just different as a groom. I think it's just different, but I don't know how to explain it. I just know that I think at some level he just gets consumed. He's like, my beautiful, beautiful bride is missing a link. And you might be sitting there like, I don't have anything to give. I don't have anything to bring to the table. But I think he's just wanting to change hearts this morning. He's wanting to speak to hearts. He's wanting to give value to you this morning. You are a part of the bride. You are a part of the beauty. You are beautiful. You are beautiful. He's coming back for a spotless bride, and that's you. That's you this morning. So the practical application looks like being messy. It looks messy. It looks chaotic. Running out the door, screaming at your kids, go, let's go, go. It looks messy. It looks messy. But do it afraid. Do it afraid of not looking your best on a Sunday morning, not getting all the sleep that you need, but it's about your heart's posture in the moment. It protects your heart. Protects your heart.
Well, you know what I'm saying? Really good, Matt. Really good. I think
God, I just thank you for every individual in this room. God, I thank you for the beauty that you've called them to step into. Mm. God, the dreams and the passions that they have. Mm. God, I thank you that you want to redeem the scars. God, you want to redeem the heartache. Mm. God, you want to redeem their potential. So, Father, I just pray that anybody who doesn't see themselves as worthy, that you right now, all across this place, would just lavish them with your love.
Yes.
Lavish them with your goodness. Mm. Show them their potential. Break off the lies that have been spoken over them over the years, that they're not worthy, that they're not beautiful, that they're not courageous, that they don't have potential. Break it off. Remind them of your promises, that you're pleased with them, that you love them. There's nothing that can separate them from you. God, I just pray that we would have an understanding of our role in the house of God, in our families, in our homes, and in this city, and in this nation, and in this world, that it goes beyond us, that we are a unit, that we are a bride, that prepare our hearts, Jesus, as a spotless bride. God, we desire your move. Don't let us miss it. Soften our hearts. Don't let us miss it. This city needs you. Our hearts need you. You're coming back for a spotless bride. So prepare us to host. Prepare us for the wedding day. Prepare us to celebrate, to rejoice, to be strong and courageous. Prepare us, Jesus. Prepare us. Stir it up within us. You've spoken into the dry bones. You've called us to awaken. You've called us to awaken, and I just pray that we would take action. That we would take action. No more dormancy. No more dormant dreams. No more dormant dreams. Awaken the dreams. God, where there's been sacrifice, where the dreams have been put on the shelf, awaken the dreams. Awaken the dreams. Give seed to sow. Show people what's in their hands in this season. What is in their hands?
Why don't you all stand in these moments? I want to invite the ministry team up front. You guys can still stay here for some extra seconds. The worship team doesn't need to come back. We're going to go straight into music and then ministry time. Ever since this morning, I've been really feeling God wants to touch hearts this morning. And he's interested in how your heart is doing in this season. When you see Jesus, him walking, everybody that he prayed through, he asked, "What do you want me to do?" He's interested in what was going on. How are you doing? Not your circumstances. He was aware. He could see that the blind was blind. He could see some limitations. But he was more interested in what needed to change, which was the hearts. And I really believe this morning, he's interested in our hearts. And the best place to be with him is with the broken hearts, humble hearts. And to really position ourselves before Him, He can take way better care of our lives, of our time, of our finances than we can. He's the King of Kings. What we look after so hard, which is gold and silver, will just pave the streets of heaven. We'll just step on it. His value is eternity. So let just this morning, really the wisdom and the fear of God come into our hearts and to position. So with all eyes closed, I just want to pray for our hearts this morning. Holy Spirit, we just surrender our hearts to You. And I just pray right now that You touch us in such a way this morning that will mess us up, that will cause uncomforts, that will cause a hunger, that will cause transformation, Father. There is so much more, Father. And I just pray, like Matt said at the end, there will be a revelation of our value because You loved us so much that Your love will be revealed in such a way that we understand our value, what we're called for, the purposes that You have for our lives, Father. That is great, Father, that everybody that is in this room today has a calling from the King of Kings to manifest His glory in a different way in this room, Father. So I just pray that You awaken hearts this morning, Father, that You awaken dreams, Father, that You awaken, Father, areas that we have given up, Father. I just pray right now that will be a transformation in our hearts this morning in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our King. Amen.